This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Charlotte, North Carolina has been in the news this week as state lawmakers debate the repeal of HB 2, the bathroom bill there. Charlotte is North Carolina's economic powerhouse. It's a huge banking center. And yet the city is near the bottom in rankings of economic mobility. If you are born poor in Charlotte, you are likely to stay poor. So Marketplace's Rima Crace looks at how that city is grappling with its reality and what it's doing to close the mobility gap.
Eastway Drive winds through Charlotte for miles. At one end, the road is dotted with modest apartments, laundromats, payday lenders.
Small retail mall complexes.
Brenda Tindall is a historian with the Levine Museum of the New South. She says the eastern part of the city is mixed income, but with pockets of deep poverty. The Greer Heights neighborhood, for example, has a median income of less than $17,000. But just a few blocks away, the scene shifts dramatically. We enter South Park.
Beautiful, beautiful homes.
With white columns, porches, super green lawns.
Many of the streets are named after Ivy League colleges and universities.
The median income in South Park is around $90,000.
Segregation is very much a part of how our city is laid out. Literally a block away was Section 8 housing.
And the people who live in public housing will likely never make it here. In Charlotte, the chances of a child born into poverty moving into, say, a 3,000-square-foot home on Princeton Avenue are, well, near impossible. Nathaniel Hendren teaches economics at Harvard. He's part of a team of researchers that's done extensive work on mobility in America.
For low-income kids, Charlotte is one of the worst places to grow up in the United States.
In fact, he says a child raised in poverty has just a 4% chance of rising to the top.
But if instead you had grown up in, say, Sacramento or Minneapolis or other areas, we see rates of upward mobility that are more than twice as high as that.
His findings have surprised and horrified a lot of people here. It's easy to see Charlotte as a land of opportunity. It's the biggest city in North Carolina and a magnet for young professionals. Behind New York, it's the second largest banking center. Bank of America is here. So is Wells Fargo. But change your vantage point and...
Charlotte is looked at as a cautionary tale.
Justin Perry is a father and community activist. He says in the 70s, Charlotte appeared to be headed in a promising direction.
A unanimous Supreme Court today affirmed the principle of busing school children to desegregate schools.
For years, Charlotte was known as the city that made desegregation work. Research shows that integrating the city's schools helped narrow the achievement gap between Black and white students. But in the early 2000s, a court order ended busing, and students returned to neighborhood schools. Today, a quarter of Charlotte schools have state exam pass rates that are below 50%. And nearly all of those schools are predominantly African American and Latino.
I feel like we've compromised ourselves and lost our way, but the beauty of it is that, you know, no mistake is ever permanent.
Perry is part of a grassroots group that advocates for more diverse neighborhoods and schools. The city's also launched a 20-person opportunity task force to address broader inequities. Then there are private efforts. This year, the local Goodwill created a $22 million campus to train and place people in jobs.
So this class is all about self-assessment. You might take some tests and think, wow, I did better than I thought I was going
to
do.
About 15 students are here in Philip Gaber's class to learn how to dress for a job or use Excel. 48-year-old Kimberly Carr, who sits at the very front, describes what interviews are like for her.
You have to basically sell yourself. You know what I'm saying? And you may have to go beyond what you really are. I'm really a shy person. So, like, coming to this class, I have to talk.
Carr was raised by a single mom on the outskirts of the city. Since high school, she's worked a series of low-wage jobs as a nursing assistant and customer service rep. But a couple of years ago, things started unraveling. First, her computer, which she used for work, gave out. Then her 27-year-old Buick Regal. Didn't take long before she was in a homeless shelter.
You're laying in a bunk in a room full of 300 other people, and you're trying to sleep so you can figure out what to do the next day. That's the lowest moment.
Carr's back on her feet now, and she's here at the Goodwill campus to train for her next step.
You know, I wouldn't mind being a medical unit secretary.
Medical secretaries start out making about $14 an hour, but they get benefits and a chance to move up. In Charlotte, North Carolina, I'm Rima Crace for Marketplace.